For those of you who have never read from this, I highly recommend this, and more people as they read it in the world of scholars or whatever are recommending this. It's called the Passion Translation, and particularly the Psalms are just stunning sometimes. What I'm going to look at, if you want to turn your Bibles, although it won't make a lot of sense in that sense, to the Psalms in 33 and 34. In reading the readings for the day, the Psalm reading today is Psalm 34. And I read it out of the Passion Translation. I was like, oh, man, that's really good. And then I got like, well, but, you know, I'm not sure that's what I should do, because to do it means that I have to kind of become really engaged with the words on a different level than that's normal for me. So anyway, when I was reading it this morning, Psalm 34, and this starts at the bottom of the page here. Whoops, sorry about that. And there's a note at the bottom of the page about Psalm 33:18. And for some reason, I looked up there, and when I read that, I was like, oh gosh, that's it. This is what we're going to talk about. So I'm going to read some stuff and then kind of talk about it as I read it. But then starting in Psalm 33, the 17th verse in the Passion Translation, it says, human strength and weapons of men are such false hopes for victory. They may seem mighty, but they will always disappoint. Think about that. Think about your life. We all fall into this trap of putting false hope into our strengths, whatever our strengths are. For some of us, it's our strengths are that we're great businessmen, and so we do really well in business. We just make money. I shouldn't say we, because I'm not even close to that. Some of y'all, that is not me, has never been me. But you kind of put your strength in that. Others, it's other things. One of the places that I always put my strength before I got too old was in my ability to just make things happen. You know, I always worked with my hands and stuff like that, so when something needed to happen, I could always make it happen, as long as it was in the physical world. You know, if something needed fixed, I could make that happen. And that was my strength. So we all have our strengths. The problem is we put our confidence in those strengths. And so part of our Christian life is a series of disasters that happens to get us convinced that we're really not all that strong as we thought we were. You know? I say, in my world of building stuff, it's a terrible thing when you can't build something. You know? It'll drive you crazy. But the Lord has to reduce us to those places. One of the ways he did that for me was a friend of mine asked me to build a large cross to go in their church. It was a church we had in Chelsea. And he wanted what's called a budded cross, which, you know, has the buds on the ends, kind of like this. It's like this here. And so I said, sure, I can do that. I mean, after all, I worked in architectural woodwork with my hands, and I was one of the best guys in our company. I was in the top two guys in our company doing this. Doing work. And so I said, sure. So I collected up the wood and got all the wood. And I had a real particular idea for the patterns of the wood to flow together in a certain way to make like a sunburst type of effect, because I was using mahogany. And I had some beautiful mahogany that had a deep reds, but yet also brilliant yellows. And so I started trying to do that, and I couldn't do it. Every time I cut it, it was like wrong. And so the Lord, I got reduced. My strength became nothing. And I was so frustrated about it. Really, really, really frustrated. And so I told the Lord, I said, Lord, this is ridiculous. I'm like really good at this stuff. You know, I'm a professional. I make a living. I'm one of the best guys in this company, which made me one of the best guys in Birmingham. Because our company was the top company for high quality woodwork. And I can't even do this simple thing of cut two pieces of wood together so it works out this way. You know? And so I kind of heard about that in the back of my head. Yep. You know? And so I was just so frustrated. And the Lord just really spoke to me and said, you know, I was a carpenter. I could help you. And I was like, what? Really, Lord? And he goes, yeah. I go, well, then please help me. And I turned around and looked at this pile of wood on my table, and it was like I saw it. And so I started making these cuts, and they were all perfect. Exactly the way I had envisioned it to be. But before he intervened and I relied on his strength to overtake my strength, which I thought my strength was more than his strength, because he's just a rough carpenter. You know, he just did rough carpentry work with hand tools. You know, I was like a super carpenter building furniture and stuff for huge corporate companies, conference tables for Blue Cross Blue Shield, companies like that. That's what I did. But I had to learn that lesson. That's not my strength. It's always his strength. Read this again. Human strength and weapons of men are such false hopes. I learned that lesson continually even now. It's an ongoing lesson that we learn because we fall back into that so easily, to rely on our own abilities, our own strengths, rather than putting those at his disposal to use as he would see fit. There are such false hopes for victory that they may seem mighty, but they will always disappoint. Then in verse 18, and this is what just so blew me away this morning. The eyes of the Lord are upon even the weakest worshipers who love him, those who wait in hope and expectations for the strong, steady love of God. I don't know about you guys, but I think I can speak for most clergy in that this is where we live most of our life, is in weakness. And sometimes we struggle in that place of going like, Lord, I can't do this. I'm not worthy of this, for one thing. You know, like, but he's just saying, even if you're the weakest, even if Satan convinces you of this lie, which this is the lie that Satan dumps on us, even if he convinces you of this lie, that you're the absolute, total, most worthless, weakest person there. It says the Lord's eyes are upon you. And he's just wanting you to wait in hope and expectation for that strong, steady love of God. Verse 19, God will deliver them from death, even certain death of famine, with no one to help. Think about that. When you're in that place where you're just being hammered from within and without, that you have no hope, that you're hopeless, that whatever the situation is, that there's no hope financially, the bills are coming due, and you have no hope financially. Or if it's an illness situation that you cannot deal with, and you have no hope left, medically speaking. No matter what the situation, a relationship situation that's fallen completely apart, and you have no hope for restoration. We all get to those places. Or am I the only one that has lived without hope at times? I don't think so. It says, the Lord alone is our radiant hope, and we trust in him with all of our hearts. And this is like the coolest thing, the way this man writes this, that just I just kind of does something for me. His wraparound presence. His wraparound presence. Do you remember what it was like when you was little and you was like totally flipped out by something, scared to death or whatever, and someone, your mom, your dad, or somebody got down on your level, on their knees, and they just wrapped their arms around you? That's what God does. He come down to us, and he got on his knees washing feet in order to wrap his arms around us, his presence wrapped around us. That's an amazing thought to me. That just blows my mind to think of that. His presence so wrapped with no break in the wrap. You know? It's amazing. As we trust, we rejoice with uncontained joy flowing from Yahweh. So let your love and steadfast kindness overshadow us continually, for we trust and we wait upon you. Psalm 34, there's a couple things I want to read because they're just so cool. I'm not going to say too much about them. But one of them in particular, because I was reading through here and started marking this up. But in Psalm 34, verse 5, it says, "Gaze upon him, join your life with his, and joy will come. Your face will glisten with glory." And this is the next, like I said, the way this guy just puts stuff sometimes is so amazing to me. Because the next thing he says, "Your face will glisten with joy. You'll never wear that shame face again." What an amazing thing to think of, is that no matter what the situation that you're in, where the enemy is just telling you how like you've blown it, you've messed up, all this, and heaping shame upon you, he says, you'll never wear that shame face again. What a promise for us, that just by gazing upon him, that's it. Yeah, just gazing upon him, that's what he does. By that simple act. No hoops, no laws, no rules, just gazing upon him. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.